Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, reading verse 9 and 13. "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Heavenly Father, help us as we open your word. Lord, give us understanding. Give us a clear word from heaven. Lord, I'm not interested in enticing words of man's wisdom. But Lord, as the man said, we would see Jesus. Help us to do that today. Please help us to understand your word. Feed us from your word. And help us to see Christ. And we're careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The last time I taught from this chapter, I guess it's been a couple of weeks now, I said that this chapter shows us Jesus Christ. We've seen in Daniel the first coming, and as we continue to study, we'll see more information about his first coming. In other words, there's more prophecy, more messianic prophecy contained in this book. But Daniel also talks about end times prophecy, which of course speaks of Christ's second coming, the second advent. But last time I read from Psalm chapter 2, which talks about the return of Christ and his kingdom being set up and power and authority and a kingdom given to him. And it says that we should kiss the Son. In other words, we should come to Christ in preparation for his kingdom and before his return. I also took you to Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about the first and second coming. It mentions that Christ humbled himself and was obedient unto death, the death of the cross. But it says that God the Father exalted his Son and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in Revelation chapter 5, we saw the same description that we find in Daniel chapter 7, even down to the same phrases and words used to describe the scene in heaven of thousands and thousands and ten thousands worshiping the Lord and praising his name. The scene in Revelation chapter 5 is that of a book that had seals, and as the seals are opened, we find out later that various judgments take place. Various events happen in the book of Revelation as the seals on the book are opened. But there's a problem, because no one was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. But then in walks Jesus Christ. In walks the Master. It says, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And in verse 9 it says they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to one day being able to stand there and sing that praise and sing that new song. I'm going to be there, and I hope that you'll be there with me. Revelation talks about the Great Tribulation, an event that is future, an event that has not come to pass yet. But this future event, the Great Tribulation leading up to the second coming of Christ, they talk about Christ and mention his first coming when he hung and died on Calvary for the sins of mankind. And I said last time that Daniel chapter 7 tells the same story of the first and second coming of Christ. And these three chapters that I gave you, Psalm 2, Philippians 2, and Revelation chapter 5, support this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. But I want to apologize. I don't believe that I read quite far enough last time. I don't think I got to verse 13. In verse 9 and 10, it talks about the Father. But in verse 13, it talks about Christ. Let's read that verse again. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And again, I don't believe last time I quite read far enough in Daniel chapter 7 to demonstrate that. But the same thing that we find in Psalms, Philippians, and Revelation, we find in the book of Daniel chapter 7. I said before that many times when people think of prophecy, they only think in terms of end times prophecy. But of course, the first coming of Christ was prophesied as well. You know that on this program, I've made an effort to try to bring out the different types and shadows in the Old Testament that speak of Christ. And many of those types, I suppose, deal with the first coming. But a good number of them also deal with the second coming. Jesus himself talked about the days of Noah, and that the end times would be as those days that Noah lived in. God told Noah to build an ark, and it took 100 years to do so, and during that time, his building of the ark, and having to stop every 15 minutes probably to explain what he was doing to the people, was a picture of the preaching of the gospel. On this program, perhaps in your church on Sunday morning, perhaps other places and other preachers, you've heard the story that Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. And that there's a judgment coming, and the only way to escape it is to be in Christ, to be a Christian, to be born again, to be in Christ. Noah's ark is a picture of Christ. We need to be in Christ because the judgment's coming. In Noah's day, God destroyed the world with rain and water, a great flood. But God gave a promise that he would not ever destroy the earth again by water. And as a token of that covenant that God made with Noah, He put a rainbow in the clouds. Anytime you see a rainbow, that's the token of God's covenant with Noah and with mankind, that he would not destroy the earth again with water. And one day the apostle said that the earth will burn with fervent heat. One day the earth will be destroyed. And the great tribulation, which is what Daniel and Revelation talk about, lead up to that day when the earth is destroyed. But not only destroyed, God will remake and refashion the earth, the Bible says. When the earth is remade at the end of time, after Christ comes back, there'll be no more sin, no more sickness, no more disease, no more worry, no more heartache, no one selling drugs on the corner, no murder, no corrupt politicians, no evil of any kind. Let me read you something from Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah, speaking of Christ, said this: "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." That's the great tribulation and the second coming. But he goes on and says this: "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, or the snake's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." I don't claim to be an expert on Bible prophecy, but I do believe it. I do believe it, and I'm looking for that day when Christ comes back. I'm looking for his return, and I'm waiting for the chance to live in his new kingdom. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. I'm looking for that day. Hallelujah. But let's go on and see what else is in this chapter. Verse 15, again in Daniel chapter 7. "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me to know the interpretation of the things." And here is the interpretation that this being, this one that stood by, gave him. Remember, at the beginning of the chapter, there were the four beasts: the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then the great and terrible beast, the one that had 10 horns, and then another horn came up. Here's the interpretation of the prophecy. He says in verse 17, "These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." That's end times prophecy in a nutshell. Things will happen. Kingdoms will arise. The great tribulation will shortly occur. But in the end, Christ comes back, and we're going to be with him. He's going to set up his kingdom and rule. And we're going to rule with him. We're going to rule with him. You may be in the projects. You may be depending on food stamps and a check every month just to make it. But the Bible says that if you're a Christian, you're going to rule with Christ. You're going to reign with Christ. You're going to live in a mansion when you get to heaven. You're going to walk on streets paved with gold. You're not going to have to want for anything ever again. God is going to take care of you when you get to heaven. But I want to say that God wants to take care of you now, if you'll trust in him, if you'll look to him. In light of the fact that you're going to have a mansion, you're going to walk on a street paved with gold when we get to heaven. In light of that, live for God now. Live right before him now. And look to his coming. And I promise you, and more than me, the Bible promises you that God will watch over you, and he will care for you, and show his goodness to you. I'm so thankful to be a Christian. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm so happy to be a Christian and to live for him. I'm so happy that he picked me up out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. I'm so happy to be a Christian. And I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm looking for his kingdom. I'm looking for his return.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall around me. I see prophecies fulfilling. And the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. When
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day in the night. God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the valley. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.